Let's get our Bibles open to Proverbs chapter 3 tonight, please. Proverbs 3. Title of the message is, It's Not the Obvious, okay? It's not the obvious. Now, last week, actually, we had a illustrated last week. And so I didn't cover the subject on being led of the Holy Spirit, which is what we've been doing in these messages, but this is the third one in this series of being led by the Holy Spirit. It's not the obvious, and I'm just going to pass in some brief review, bring you up to speed, and then we'll go from there. Proverbs chapter 3, look at verse number 5, reads this way. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now, you cannot trust your understanding. Now, I don't mean that to say that you're a knucklehead and all, but in regards to the things of God, we are told directly right here in the Word of God not to trust our comprehension of circumstances and situations. Don't trust your understanding. You need to trust in the Lord. Don't lean on your own wits. This is what's very difficult for people, especially people that have been educated, is not falling back upon their own understanding of things. Now, we're not told to be ignorant. We are not told to not study. The Bible tells us to study. And, you can look at people in the Bible. Paul was a highly educated man. Peter was not as educated, but he was very much in tune with the Lord. And if you'll recall, the authority said, oh, boy, what is it about these guys? We can tell they've been with Jesus. The way they answered the religious people, most religious and most learned and learned religious people of the day, and these, quote, illiterate, ignorant fishermen were putting them in their place, and they could tell there was something about them. Well, God doesn't have a corner on saying, if I'm going to use you, you have to have no education. And it's not the other way around either. If I'm going to use you, you have to have a lot of education. Not so. You get your education, that's fine. But then in the process, you need to learn how to listen to the Lord. Some occupations require more education because of facts and figures and formulas and all that kind of thing and the training that's necessary and all. I don't want somebody operating on me if I went in for an operation of some sort who, took the little short course, you know what I'm saying? And he's going to open you up and, oh, looky here, what is this? Or faints at the sight of blood, or something, has no experience. I want somebody who's well-trained and understands, but I also want somebody who asks the Lord how to go about it. Amen? Now, we're told not to lean on our own understanding. Ben Carson is one of the premier surgeons. Was he a neurosurgeon? Premier, if not the premier neurosurgeon in the world. That man is highly educated, but that man asks the Lord and prays, okay? And he even talks about praying before he would perform operations. I mean, you're talking to a highly educated man who seeks the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I like Ben Carson. He's a good man. Here, write this down if you don't have it down. You never have enough knowledge in this world to make a perfect decision. That ought to free you up some. You never have enough knowledge in this world to make a perfect decision. Now, what's that all about, Pastor Dan? Well, think about it for a minute. There's a lot that you don't know. There's a lot that you don't know about every decision that you make. Well, should we do this? Should we go and eat over there? The people that have gone into places and got in trouble because they were in the wrong place at the wrong time, you know what I'm saying? Went into a restaurant and there was some activity going on there, whether it got robbed or, what happened? A car drove into the window or something. Wrong place at the wrong time. It's not, if they had been listening to the Lord, well, I can make my own decision of where I want to eat. I would suggest you listen to the Lord about that. Now, it sounds funny. People are like, you can ask the Lord what you can eat. It probably wouldn't hurt some people to do that. Amen? Amen? Y'all, there'd you go home. No, but the fact is, I always want to be in the right place at the right time, and I don't want to be in the wrong place at the wrong moment. Jerry Bilodeau was saying one day, she told me that she had, wherever she was walking, and the Lord said, stop. I forget just how it happened, and a bike whizzed right by, wasn't looking, and would have run her right over, or a motorcycle or something. It was serious. You know, the time I was driving, coming home from the club when I taught tennis in Wisconsin, and the Lord told me to slow down, and I slowed down, and I got to that blind intersection on a back road coming back from the club, and a car blew through the intersection at about 50 or 60 miles an hour right in front of me. And it pays to listen to the Lord, amen? You never have enough knowledge in the world to make a perfect decision, whatever it is. But who does know everything? Who does know everything? The Holy Spirit knows everything. You and I don't know what's going to happen in the next 10 minutes. We don't know what's going to happen in the next, you know, day or two or what have you. But the Holy Spirit does. So it would be a smart thing to consult with him. People have a tendency to overthink things. They think, and they think, and they think, and they think some more. And they keep coming up dry. I mean, how many of y'all have met people that overthink problems, situations? They just overthink it. Consequently, they never get anything done, right? It's true. At some point, you have to make a decision, but here's the key to making that decision. The answers are not necessarily in your head. The Holy Spirit has the answer to that situation. You can go, we have file cabinets in the church. We have a number of different ones around here in different places. There's one up over here that has some music stuff in it. And if you go through that, now you're not supposed to go through it, but if you were going through it, you're going through and you're looking for a certain song and you're looking for the charts on it. And you go through front to back, back to front, and then you go through the next drawer and you do the same. And then you start over on the top and you go through again and you're going, it's taking you an hour and you're going through all these files and you're looking and you're getting frustrated and then you go to the second one, you do it again. What would be your conclusion after you've done that a couple of times? It's not there, right? Well, people do that. They're searching for answers that aren't there. Why? The Holy Spirit has the wisdom that you need. And so you need to learn how to pull on the wisdom of God that's on the inside of you. And how is that done? That is done through praying in the Spirit. There's so much misunderstood about praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues. But when you pray in the Spirit, you draw out information from your spirit man. That's where the Spirit of God resides. He doesn't reside in your head. He resides down out in the Spirit, in the spirit man. The Bible says the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. In other words, he's going to use and illuminate things in your spirit like you would a candle so you could see down a path. Well, praying in tongues is likened to drawing out of a well with a bucket. And you're pulling up from the inside what's there and what you have need of. Inside you, the Bible says, is a wellspring of life. We need to learn how to tap into the wisdom of God that's there. I will say this, things happen in your spirit first and your head finds out about it later. I've had that happen so many times I can't tell you. Have you ever had a knowing about something and your head's going like, I don't know what that was all about, but all of a sudden it all comes clear? Oh, I see why you didn't. I thought you were going to do this in my life, but you held that back and it was a good thing you did because had that happened, I would have been over here at this time. You know, and you didn't know it with your head, but you had a gut instinct, a gut feeling that you shouldn't go that direction, you shouldn't go over here. And then have you ever disobeyed that and end up in a bad traffic jam? You're going, I knew I shouldn't have done that. We were going down the road one day in Tulsa, and we had a Passat at the time. We bought it brand new. It was a nice car. I liked that car. Very well-made car. We're going down the road, and I'm driving along. I'm clipping along at, what, about 65, 70, whatever it was through there. And I'll never forget it. I'm driving along in the Holy Spirit. He spoke it to me. And people that don't hear from God don't understand how this works. But I heard the Holy Spirit say, get in the middle lane. me, my foot was a little heavy there, you know what I'm saying? And I wanted to get by this guy who had been just one of those guys on the freeway, just irritating you, you know? And I'm like, okay, Lord, I will. I'll get over after I get by him. So I got on the gas a little bit, come around a corner. Next thing I know, I see a flying saucer. It wasn't a flying saucer. It was a metal hubcap off of a 1960s, maybe early 70s Oldsmobile. And it was a flying disc. And I see this thing, and it's coming. Oh, you know, you can't duck the car. Boom, it hit. Like in front, hit on the bumper, got the hood, got the windshield, got the sunroof, did around $2,000 worth of damage. Like that. Yeah, I guess I should have moved over in the other lane, right? And I'm, you know, and you go, well, yeah, we had insurance. Yeah, I took care of it. Yeah, it didn't cost me a dime. It just made me have to put the car over here for a few days. But the fact of the matter is the Holy Spirit said, move in the middle lane. He will tell you stuff like that. Amen. And ooh, it is frustrating when you don't obey and you could have. All I had to do was go, yes, sir, and slide over, and that thing went right by me. Using my kidneys again, you know what I'm saying. Anyway. Pray in the Spirit, get quiet, and look inward. This is how you need to be making decisions where your life is concerned. The answers are in your spirit, man. That's where the Holy Spirit resides. Now, you're told not to lean on your understanding. What does that mean, just be a dummy? No, no. Your mind and your brain are not the same thing. Do you realize that? Do you realize that? Your mind and your brain are not the same thing. The brain is the organ that the mind will function in, yeah. And there's, you know, electric activity that goes on with your brain waves and all that. Ask Ben Carson about that. He can talk to you about it. But your mind is something that you're told to renew. When you die and leave, you're still going to have a mind, even though your brain will be left here. How's that, Pastor Dan? Because it's a spiritual thing. And you're supposed to be renewing your mind with the Word of God and put this Word in here. Some people just memorize facts and think they're smart. They can't find their way down to Walmart. But they can solve, you know, these mathematical equations and all that. I'm not putting that down. I'm just saying there's a balance. You need to be able to do both. Amen? Some of you are like, I'm not going to say amen. I don't care how many times you ask. Luke chapter 10, let's go there. Well, before you do, stop at Romans 8, because we need to read one other verse of Scripture, and then we'll go over to Luke chapter 10, and I'll get into the heart of the message, so I get you out of here in a decent time. Romans chapter 8, look at verse number 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby you cry, Abba, Father. So as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We are supposed to be being led by the Holy Spirit in our lives. And if a person's not being led by the Holy Spirit, what are they being led by? Well, there's a couple options. You may be leading your own life, leaning on your own understanding all the time, never consulting God about anything. And if you're doing that, you're headed for trouble. There's a hubcap waiting. You know what I'm saying? So you're not supposed to lean on your own understanding, or you could be being led by something of the enemy. Amen? We're going to see that. That's a very strong possibility, and people don't want to think like that, but the fact of the matter is it happens to people a lot, and they don't even realize it. Okay, now let's go over to Luke chapter 10. Back up a few books to your left. Luke chapter 10, and when we left off last time in this message on being led by the Spirit, we were talking about Martha and Mary, and in Luke chapter 10, verse number 38, it's when Jesus entered into a certain village, it says. Now it came to pass, as they went, they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Now this is Martha's house, guys. And that'll explain some of the comfortableness, if you will, that she had in the situation. Remember in John 11, and again, I mentioned this last time, that Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. These they're good people. She was a good woman. Now, Mary led a bit of a questionable life, and you can do a little study on that for yourself, but she's the same one who cried on Jesus' feet, remember, and wiped them with her hair. You remember that? You'll find that in John 11, verse 2 mentioned, and in John 12, verse 3. Mary seems to be different than Martha. They're sisters, but they're different. I can say that, you know, in my family, I have three sisters, and they're all alike in some ways, but they're all different in ways too. Brothers can be very different, even though they're of the same household. And so that shouldn't surprise anybody, but different backgrounds. They have different backgrounds, different life experiences. Mary perhaps lived a more questionable life up until the time that she met Jesus, okay? So it goes on, it says, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now, the sitting at Jesus' feet was a term that meant she was being discipled, okay? That's an actual term, an idiomatic phrase for being discipled at the feet of the Lord. Sitting at his feet is being discipled by him. He was teaching her. Look at verse number 40. This is where we get into this a bit. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Now, when you read it in the King James, it sounds pretty sterile. It sounds pretty, you know, just cut and dry. Here's what happened. Oh, you know. But when we start opening this up a little bit and looking at it, I think we all can identify with Martha. Maybe it's not cooking. Maybe it's some other project you're trying to get done and you're supposed to have help and the person's sitting over doing something else that's keeping them away from helping. But Martha is certainly getting irritated at this point, you know, and she's okay. She's irritated at Mary, but don't think for a second she's not irritated with Jesus too, because she is. She's irritated with Jesus as well. And I'll explain a little bit more of that as we go. But she's, feeling like, you know, it's all because she's been left alone to complete this task of putting this meal together. Now, have you ever been frustrated? Come on, raise your hand. You ever been frustrated? You ever been irritated? Man, yeah, I know. I mean, me too. So you can just see Martha, you know, she's trying to get this stuff done, and she's going back into the kitchen, and then she's looking back out, and she sees little sweet Mary sitting out there just listening to the word, and she's left with all of this work. I could just hear you, Elnora. I could just hear my wife, too. She might not say it, but she'd be thinking it, okay? All right, and some people express themselves in a little different way. Anyway, she's back and forth, and finally she just can't take anymore, and she interrupts Jesus. Do you see that? She interrupted Jesus. Now, we have all the indication that there were a bunch of people here, and Mary's out there with them, and a lot of them came to see Lazarus, who was there too, you know. And she interrupts Jesus. She had just had enough of that little lazy little sister of hers who wasn't doing what she was supposed to be doing, because she is absolutely convinced that Jesus will agree with her. It's obvious. It's obvious that she should be helping me right now. It's so obvious. I know Jesus will agree. I'm going to interrupt. So she interrupts. It's obvious what needs to be done in this situation. And so what did need to be done? We are talking preparing a meal. Let's say there were 20 people. Now, they didn't have the ovens like we have, the refrigeration, the microwaves, running water. If you were going to cook a meal, first off, if you were going to bake anything, you had to get a fire going. Who's going to go get the wood? Who's going to get that fire stoke? Get it going. You need water. Somebody's got to go to the well, draw it out with a bucket. You're going to, you know, the vegetables need to be sliced. The meat needs to be prepared. Possibly an animal need to be slain. Who knows? I don't know. Or prepared in some way. We're not talking just a little lickety-split deal. We're talking some in detailed labor here. And she knows what it takes. Are they going to want bread? If they do, I don't have enough. I've got to bake some more. That's going to take how long to do? I need some help. And little Miss Tuffet sitting out there on her muffet. And was it a muffin? Is that, I don't know. Yeah, whatever. Muffin sitting on whatever. Yeah. But Mom, I was always half asleep when you were reading me those things. You know, it's like. But there she is. So Martha's going back and forth, but she sees Mary just sitting there listening. All the while, she's getting madder and madder and madder as she goes. Now, there's not a one of us in here that couldn't identify with that, whether it's in cooking or doing some other kind of task where you have somebody that's supposed to be helping you, and they're sitting there, not helping, and she's probably going, psst, Mary, Mary, Mary. Finally, she just interrupts Jesus. She goes out there and interrupts. Now, see, she's thinking all along, it's so obvious that Jesus will agree with me. Now, listen to this. And if you're being led by what's obvious in your life, okay, you're walking by sight. Because not everything that appears to be obvious and what we need to do is obvious what we need to do here. It wasn't what she needed to do. She did exactly the opposite of what she should have been doing. What is obvious? Obvious means clearly seen, plainly viewed. See, there's no need to consult the Holy Spirit when it's obvious what we're supposed to do. God gave me a brain. Well, she knew that if she was going to get this meal prepared, she was going to need some help. It's obvious Jesus will agree with me to do this. So, I guess he's just doing like a lot of preachers. He's getting caught up and he's not listening and he's not aware, but it's obvious, so I'm going to interrupt him. So she goes in there and interrupts. Remember this. In all, we read it before in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6. In all of your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. In all your ways. Well, Pastor Dan, it's obvious what needs to be done. See, that's where we get in trouble, when something appears to be obvious and we're not seeing behind the scenes of really what's more important. You know, somebody said, well, it's obvious I have homework, so I can't go to church tonight. I have homework. You know, or I have a test tomorrow. Well, you know, I would ask the Lord about that. I have found, you know, it's like, well, I've got things to do. I got this to do. I got this to do. I don't have time to read that chapter that I would normally take the time to read. I have found that if I'll take the time to do the things I know to do and I'm supposed to do, everything else goes better when I do the right things first. First things first. Amen? Come on. Amen. That's right. So what does she do? She stews until she boils over, and then she goes out there, and she says, look at the thing that she asks here. She was cumbered about much serving, came to him and said, Lord, don't you care? I'm just going to paraphrase it. Don't you care that my sister has left me alone to do all this work? Don't you care? Do you remember when the disciples were in the boat and they woke Jesus up? What was the first thing they said to him? Don't you care that we're about to drown? How audacious to say to the Lord, don't you care? I know we've been guilty of saying that to loved ones, right? Well, don't you care? And the fact is, we should never say that to each other, especially those that have proven that they care about you. You know, don't you care? You can tell that she's upset with Jesus, too, just by that phrase. Who did she direct it to? Jesus. She comes out there and directs it to, interrupts him. and starts to ask him, "What's the matter with you? Don't you care?" That's all inferred in that statement. Can't you see? It's obvious what I need help here. It's obvious if we're going to get this done. And she's sitting here. Don't you care? Wow. So let me ask you this. Does Martha think that she knows better than Jesus what should go on right there? It's obvious she does. She thinks it's so obvious, anybody can figure it out. Interesting. As I read this and I'm looking at this, more is coming out as I read it. Did the Holy Spirit lead Martha to go out there and interrupt Jesus and say to him, "Don't you care?" And basically gave him a piece of her mind. In front of everybody, interrupted this situation because she's mad about her sister giving time to the word when we've got work to do over here. So, did the Holy Spirit, yes, did the Holy Spirit lead Martha to do what she did? Did he or didn't? No. Well, who did? It wasn't God. It wasn't God. Who was she accusing of not caring? Jesus. You know, Revelation 12, verse number 10, the Bible says that the devil is the accuser of the brethren. Now, this starts to open up and we figure out, Martha's a good woman. Jesus loved them. He loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus. He loved this family. She was a good lady. But she needed to be corrected here. She's accusing Jesus of not caring, and so she accuses him of that, and then she tells him what he needs to do. She accuses him, says, ask him, "Don't you care?" With the accusation being put out there that it's obvious you don't because you're letting this go on. Can't you see what I'm going through here? Don't you care? And now, then she begins to instruct Jesus. Tell her to come in here and help me. And I think this is really interesting. Now, you have to remember, she doesn't know that they don't have the revelation that he's the head of the church. They don't have the revelation of who he is yet and that he's the resurrected Christ because that hasn't happened. He hadn't died yet. He hadn't died and raised up from the dead yet. They don't have that revelation, but they think he's a prophet. He is a friend of the family. They've seen him do some mighty things, but they don't have the full revelation of it. But irregardless of all that, it's a bit impolite to treat a guest that way. It is. So she interrupts and accuses Jesus of not caring in front of everybody, tells him what he needs to do at that moment, and then she pauses and waits for him to do it. And Jesus just, I guess Jesus just had to stop talking there for a minute and be quiet to let this woman have a rant, because that's exactly what happened. Now, we've looked at this, and we haven't quite seen all of it in here, but she was a good woman. She was a hard worker. She cared about doing the right things. Oh, absolutely, she did. But there is something that we have to remember, that it's more important to be led by the Holy Spirit. Hear me now. It's more important to be led by the Holy Spirit even than it is to be diligent. Or to have a finish attitude. I'm going to finish this job that I started. You can get caught up in things going on today with your little electronic device and not be led of the Holy Spirit because you have a finisher. I'm going to finish what I started attitude, which is diligent, and it's still. And there are some people that never finish anything. They got half-made models from 1975, you know. Half-made this, that. They never did. I meant to finish that. Never did finish it. Don't raise your hand if that's you, but why don't you go in there and finish it? Or destroy it, one or the other, you know what I'm saying? finish it off or finish it, you know. But there are a lot of folks that do that. They're a bit lazy and they never really finish it. But if you have a finish the job mentality regarding, for instance, your emails. How many of y'all get a lot of emails? I get a lot of emails. I get a lot of physical mail. And there was a time in my life when I felt like I had to read every letter everybody sent to me. Well, they took the time to write it, and it cost them money to send it to me. And I'm caught reading all these letters. Finally, I'm just like, I got to the point, I can't read them all. I can't respond to every email request that comes in. I can't do it all. I have to just say, okay, I'm not going to read all these 100 emails. I'm not going to go through. I have some on my phone still that have been there for months that I just kind of put over on the side. And I'm like, one of these days, I'll read it. I'll probably just delete it. But, you know, what about every time you get a text message? Ding. I don't have a ding on my phone. I don't have mine going off like that. I know Ann does, so I hear it when hers goes off. But it's like you're doing something and, you know, ding. Oh, it's a text. I've got to answer it. I'll tell you, if you're constantly being interrupted like that, now I know some of you guys use it and ladies use it for your business and all that, and I understand that. However, if the Holy Spirit's talking to you and you get a ding, you ought to just put that ding down. Don't be led by a ding. Amen? Do you hear me? You can't let a ding or a ring lead you. People can monopolize your time and suck your time up throughout the day where you don't have time to get anything else that the Lord wants you to get done, done. All because you're, you know, oh, somebody texted me, and oh, there's a sale over here. Well, whatever, you know? I mean, there's this happen. Well, some texts are more important than others, and others are just junk mail, and it's just junk, and it's just stuff that you don't need to waste your time with. And all along, it's the master distractor who's coming after you. You know, I've told you this. You'll be getting set aside some time to go and pray, and then, you know, the text will happen, or the phone will ring, or suddenly you have the idea you need to clean out the junk drawer that's been sitting there for, you know, 20 years, and suddenly you'll have the thought, I really should get after that closet, you'll see something, and I better deal with that right now while I'm thinking of it, and then your prayer time gets set aside. If you're not careful, something else will hook you while you're over here paying attention to something else. And before you know it, you're 20 minutes apart from the Lord, and you put time with him off to the side because you had a thought over here and you didn't recognize it was the devil trying to get you away from time with God. He is a deceiver. And he is the one who comes to deceive, to distract. He is the master distractor. You cannot be led by needs of people, desperation, or every call that comes to you for you to get involved with something. I can't get involved in everything that happens. I pray for people every day. I had some texts today for people. I was praying for them, and I can communicate that way. That's fine. I pray for the church every day anyway. But the fact of the matter is, I want to be led by the Holy Spirit, and I want to hear what he has to say right now. And if he tells me to go through those 100 emails, I'll do it. But we've got to stop just having this mentality, well, they came, so I have to read them, and so I have to deal with them, and I have to go through them all one by one. Well, that can take up a big chunk of your day. And I'll tell you what right now, God's not in that. So let's go back to this situation. Martha was listening to the wrong voice. Amen? Martha was listening to the wrong voice. Something was pushing her. It was a messenger of the devil, pure and simple. An angel of light who was disguised. He came as an angel of light. The devil disguised himself as an angel of light and made it look like the obvious thing you should do is interrupt Jesus because he is not sharp where it comes to recognizing what's going on. You're going to have to tell him. Oh, hold on a minute. She comes out there with some accusations. Don't you care? Why don't you tell her to do this for me and help me out over here? Who's the accuser of the brethren? So where do you suppose Martha got that from? The enemy was pushing her buttons, and she didn't realize it, and she got hung up and caught up in the moment, and it was a bad situation. Amen. But notice, she's throwing out these accusations. How does Jesus deal with it? He stopped talking and she talked and had her little hissy fit. And by the way, you're going to meet Martha in heaven, okay? And she's probably a little red-faced over that deal, like, oh, gee, I can't believe I said to Jesus what I said and all that, you know, yeah. You put your foot in your mouth before, too. But the fact of the matter is, she is a good woman and all. But notice what Jesus doesn't do. Jesus does not apologize to Martha. Did you notice that? He doesn't apologize to Martha, and he doesn't tell Mary to get in there and help her. Why? Because Martha was wrong and Jesus was right. Jesus told her what Mary had chosen was the greater thing, and it won't be taken away from her. Let me say this, and we'll close with this. You know, Martha could have alleviated all of this stress and strife and irritation and accusation flinging like she did had she done one thing. She could have headed all this off with one question. What was it? She should have asked Jesus, do you want me to prepare a meal for you? And if he said no, they may have seen a miracle like we saw in other places in the world when he took a few loaves and a few fish and multiplied it for a multitude of people. There may have been a miracle that would have happened. She didn't. She didn't ask. She jumped in to the place where it's obvious. Now, I can admire a diligent person who wants to provide, has a hospitable way about them, and they want to, you know, provide and all that, but at the expense of what? She should have asked the Lord. What seems to be the obvious thing to do and the obvious needs that are before your face, if you ask the Lord, maybe you're not even supposed to be involved in trying to go after whatever seems to be obvious. Huh? It just pays to listen to the Lord and ask the question. Humility always asks. Pride always presumes or assumes. What was Martha doing? She was leaning on her own understanding about the situation, and then she got mad when others didn't help her like she thought they should have. It was obvious. No, it wasn't. Mary actually did the right thing. Now, that cannot be, go ahead and stand to your feet, that cannot be a scriptural excuse for you to duck out of every bit of work that's out there. Okay? You know, that's not the way that works. Well, you know, I'm going to go spend some time with the Lord now. I had a guy do that one time out here. We had a work day set up, and he had agreed to come out, and he came out, and he said, Pastor Dan, I got to go spend some time with God. I said, you can do that later, can't you? You committed to help. Oh, no, I got to go spend some time with God. I'm like, why did you sign up? You lied to me. I don't want, you know, I mean, gee whiz. Well, I mean, to use a spiritual excuse to get out of work isn't cool. Amen. But ask the Lord. You should ask the Lord before you ever signed up to come and help, because we're counting on you now. And if you could say, hey, no, that's time I spend with God, we would have respected that in a heartbeat. Amen anyway. No, the person's not here. Don't worry about it. In fact, they're not even in this state of Oklahoma, so if you want to know. Father, we thank you and praise you tonight and give you glory. Father, that you want us to listen to you and you want to lead us and you don't want us to assume things. You don't want us to jump ahead and get ahead of you and therefore get into strife and other things, Lord. I thank you for peace, and I thank you for, Lord God, the heart of the people going after you to find out what you say. They want to be led by you. Lord, we want to be led by you. I praise you and bless you for that tonight. We will. We'll do just that in Jesus' name. If y'all can agree, say amen. Amen, amen. And